5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Roll call, Jared Davis.
Kyle Johnson.
Yep. Hey, guys.
Jared Davis is absent. Hey, Kyle. Scott Krause.
Present.
Aaron Stevens is present. Ethan Wakefield.
Present.
Noel Yee.
Present.
Mike Sullivan.
Here.
Cody Fireck.
Present.
Martin Frost.
Yeah.
Kyle Johnson.
Present.
And Lloyd Timberlake.
Present.
Okay, the only person missing is Jared Davis.
We need a motion to approve the agenda. Anyone make a motion?
This is Kyle. I'll make the motion.
Okay. Second.
This is Noel. I'll second the motion.
Any discussion?
Yes. The motion about the video is worded badly.
Okay.
What does it say? It says historic club spinning. That should be club swinging.
Right, you are.
And we're not digitizing a club swing DVD. We're digitizing a VHS.
Correct.
Just say video instead of DVD. Don't even say VHS, just say video.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay. And for anyone who missed it, I did delete two of the previous motions that were on the agenda. Anyone had read it earlier? Okay. No other discussion. We'll move to a vote. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. And approval of minutes from November 10th. Can anyone want to make a motion?
I move. This is Lloyd.
Okay. And second?
This is Scott. I'll second.
Any discussion? Okay, moving to vote. Anybody opposed to the approval of the minutes? Any abstentions? Motion passes. And approval of minutes from November 24th. Motion, please.
This is Lloyd. I move.
And second.
This is Scott. I'll second.
Any discussion? Moving to vote. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. All right, moving on to reports. First report is for the 2014 IJA Festival from Cody.
Hey. So things are going well in the planning here. I think the main thing that has changed is with the ticket sales. For the early bird, we decided to shorten it up to 2 weeks and not have a limit on that and allow everybody to get those tickets, but we no longer have the lowest price tier ones. And then for regular price tickets, those will be open from March 1st until June 30th. And then the price for those and then the on-site price remain the same. Basically, we've been focused on booking people for Cascade of Stars and trying to figure out who else we want in to fill in the rest of the shows, and marketing are kind of our two big focuses. Kind of following next month, we'll be focused a lot on reaching out to the community of Lafayette with the city and figuring out all of our permits and things like that and other ways to get coordinated with the local businesses. The festival registration website should also have something preliminary, hopefully up by the next board meeting. That's well underway. For marketing, some of the other things we're doing is we're going to have a public IJA Google calendar That way we can just share it on Facebook and things like that, and people will be able to keep up with all the IJA stuff, as well as anything with the board and other different things you have going outside the festival could be added to the same calendar. So that might be something to discuss as well. And I think that's pretty much the main updates that I would say we have from our end.
Great. Any questions or discussion for Cody?
This is probably a silly question, but what are the two financial figures next to the pricing tiers? Like there's the 189 and the 139?
It's just adult and youth. I just kind of went with the assumption that everybody figured. Yeah, so it's just adult and then youth for the two.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes
yep.
Sense.
This is Noel. I'm curious if you could send me all the information related to your Purdue visit for when I go to meet with Vero in a few weeks, if that would be okay.
Sure. Should we chat maybe for a minute offline on that to figure out what you need, or do you know kind of
exactly
what you're looking for?
Chat offline and just email me any like things that you use because I just need a.
I have like a big list of all that, the city business contacts and things like that. That might be what you're referring to, maybe?
Just more like the portions of the IJ Festival that you had to pay attention to in the process of doing your site visit at Purdue.
Okay.
I know you like created a list. Cody, that was on the our agendas and stuff of all
sure.
The different rooms and venues and stuff that you were looking for and people to talk to and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
All right, I'll jot that down.
We made our first Facebook post announcing one of the Cascade of Stars performers, Gina Schwartzman, and it got over like 204 likes or something like that, which is great. So people are excited about her, which is not surprising.
Very cool. Yeah, I think focusing a lot on Facebook marketing will help. And, you know, Kyle's been doing a lot with that. So,
yeah. Cool. Any other discussion? Okay, moving on to future festival planning. Mike?
Hello. I submitted my report. Big news is that we have received a firm proposal from the University of Nebraska main campus at Lincoln, which I think is very, very competitive, and with pricing similar to, or actually I think gym pricing more attractive than BGSU. And of course Nebraska is a much, much, much bigger school with world-class facilities like we're going to see at Purdue. Very attractive housing options there. And I think the biggest plus to looking at Nebraska is that campus is right next to downtown Lincoln. So you can walk off of campus, cross the street, and you are right in the middle of downtown Lincoln, which is a vibrant downtown area. And they're very interested in having us there. The only problem is they are booked out for about the next 20 years with volleyball camps all during June and July. So they cannot bring us in until the first week of August. As you know, this year our festival is leaking into the first year, a week of August. And so I don't think it's out of the question to consider Nebraska if we can work with them on the dates to be very early in August of 2016 or 2017. Right after the first of the year, I'm going to contact one of our very good juggling friends and members, Jack Kelly, who is a alumnus of Nebraska and has lived in both Lincoln and Omaha his whole life, knows the campus very well, and he is going to go on a preliminary site tour and check everything out. When I discussed all the arrangements that Nebraska had proposed for us already, He was very familiar with all the facilities and said that the Coliseum would be a perfect juggling venue, and that the theater they are proposing also would be perfect, and that he has performed there himself many times. So I think this is very promising, and I think we will follow up with them in time for me to have a report by our January meeting with more details and a few more details firmed up on their end as well. Beyond that, we have received renewed interest from a couple other cities, El Paso, Texas. I do have some doubts about El Paso, both from a climate standpoint and from the fact that it is very, very far away from lots of other places in the world. It's a 10-hour drive from Dallas, just to give you an idea how far West Texas is away from even other cities in Texas. So that would pretty much preclude anyone from driving. But if you don't mind flying, they want to put on a good proposal for us and have, they think, a lot to offer. So we'll be talking more with them, and they want to have a proposal in my hands by mid-January as well. Still working with Kalamazoo, with Dubuque, Iowa, although I don't think that's going to work out, and with Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Most of these cities now are... or cities or facilities are on holiday break, so nothing is happening until we get back after the first of the year. But we do have quite a few prospects cooking for the next few years. So that's my report. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Mike. One thing, did you hear or talk to, I think it was Des Moines, Iowa?
Des Moines, Iowa? Yes, I've
yes,
been to Des Moines on a site visit. I've talked with them again since then. They called us back. The problem with Des Moines is it is the state capital, and it is a very, very, very big convention city for Iowa. And they have world-class facilities, but they are all very, very, very big. And because they're all so big, the distances involved are also quite large. Mm. And when I was there, I think that was the thing that kept us away from coming to Des Moines. It's literally 6 blocks from the convention center to the nearest hotel room. And that's using a dedicated walkway. That's how big the distances are in downtown, just because the facilities are all so big.
Okay.
So I would like to think we will someday be able to look at a city like Des Moines, but it's just too big for us, and they really are not scaled for our kind of convention.
Okay, I had gotten an email from them, and I passed them on to you, so I just wanted to make sure that...
Yep, they want them, but it's just not going to be a good fit. So I was there when I was on a visit about 2 years ago, and they called me again recently, and we had the same discussion. So it's just not a good fit with us.
Hey, this is Scott. I have a few months ago, it was suggested that we look into recruiting a festival director before we finalize a city for future fests. And we're good on 2015, but has there been any thought given to who we might approach for 2016 or 17 if we look at Nebraska, for example? And this is to the whole board. I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because that is something I know the board had talked about, Mike, at one planning meeting, was just that idea of trying to find venues where there's potential festival directors already kind of built in, so we're not scrambling to find those.
That's a nice idea. I don't think it's practical for a group of volunteers as small as we have, and then we also have the potential problem of what if the person that we have chosen the city because they're there, we've chosen the city, and now the person quits or we have to fire them, which has happened in the very recent past. We had a festival director identified, and they were on the job, and then things went south, and we had to make a change. So.
Right.
You know, nobody wants that to happen again. I don't think it should happen again, but you never know what can happen. And then, you know, have you really done yourself a favor by picking someone who knows the local area?
Right. That's still the case if you choose a director who doesn't live there, too, and they end up not working out. It doesn't matter if they live there or not. That can happen.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we did that for the first 40 years of the IJ's life, who was basically always a local person organizing a local festival, you know, the festival for the IJ. from a local perspective.
That's right.
Yeah, there's lots that makes sense about that. Getting a team kind of festival team, like if there's a local juggling club and everything to help with the organizing.
Yep. Well, and, you know, when we were in Davenport in 2005, Dusty there basically brought the IJA to Davenport and was very, very instrumental in putting the fest together. He wasn't the festival director, but I think it's fair to say that we relied on the local effort quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many cities in the country are going to have that kind of local involvement and also have all the other things that we need to make a good festival.
This is Noel. Mike, I really appreciate all the work that you do before I say this. I was just thinking that it seems like we're going to Quebec, which is out of country, and I understand that that has its own trials and tribulations I'm probably soon to experience. But I think it feels to me that a lot of the festival site visits that we research tend to be Midwest specific, and I'm not saying that I know that California and Oregon, I know I was at the IJ in Reno, there's a lot of jugglers in California. There's a lot of jugglers in Oregon. And of your sites that just mentioned that, I'd be really interested in seeing a lot more facilities not Midwest specific. And in addition, I also would be fully interested. I like the El Paso idea just simply because it's so close to Mexico. Just as a random thing to think about is that at least potentially there could be some Latin American jugglers that would potentially, I don't know, maybe getting across is hard there. I don't know. But, like, just that might be a viable option. But I thought, for me at least, I'm interested in seeing the festival, IJ Festival, perhaps expand its network, and I know that the qualifications for the venue are pretty specific at this point, but I don't know, and I know that does takes time. Quebec is like its first step, and we'll see how it goes, but that's more of where my feelings lie, is seeing if the IJA can perhaps expand to areas that have a strong juggling community. For example, I suggested Vancouver, or, I mean, even Portland, or somewhere on the West Coast, or even the East Coast, Atlanta, or somewhere in that region. Just putting that out there.
Well, I have gone on site visits to Rochester, New York, to Richmond, Virginia. Atlanta is far, far, far too big a city for us to have a convention in. Any city that you're looking at, like Atlanta, Chicago, New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, we couldn't afford it. B, we would get lost if we came there. Even cities as big as Cleveland or Orlando, we would be lost in. The cities that I mentioned on the East Coast, Rochester was a completely uncompetitive bid, and Hartford, Connecticut was far too expensive for us, as was Richmond, Virginia. These are large cities, state capitals. They have more convention business than they can really handle. And we're a very weird group, and we have a lot of really weird requirements, plus we don't want to pay anything for any of our facilities. So I would like to believe that someday we will find a nice fit in a big East or West Coast city, but we can't afford these places. I have tried Portland, the Bay Area, Seattle area, Southern California, and no one either has the availability or the affordability. I have asked in writing for anyone to send in suggestions on who I can contact at any facilities that they know of that might be suitable, and I haven't heard anything. So I'm doing everything I can to prospect for cities, but I've got to be realistic about the kind of cities that we will find a fit in.
I'd like to add that although there are a lot of jugglers in California, California is a big place, and the West half of the U.S. has a lot smaller population than the eastern half, which is one reason why we've more or less settled on the eastern half for festivals, because we can get more people to come. A lot of jugglers in San Francisco, but there's a lot more jugglers near, let's say, Pittsburgh or somewhere in the east. It'd be nice to have a festival in the northeast. We haven't had one there in a long time. That would be close to the big population in the east. Doesn't have to be in a big city, but it'd be nice if we could come up with a place there. We've been in the Midwest, anywhere from North Carolina to the Midwest, and sort of been in a rut here.
That's right. I agree. I've gone to these convention planner, meeting planner conventions, trying to meet with places from all over the country. And I do have a lead from Pittsburgh that I'm trying to follow up on. But, I'm open to anybody who can meet our requirements that we can afford that has the availability we want. And it doesn't, if we could find a city that has those things that's in the east or in the west, but I can't emphasize enough how right Martin was when he said the western U.S., it's a vast, vast, empty piece of land. You've got 3.5 million square miles with just a couple dozen big cities with huge distances between them. And that means you're going to relegate all of the other people who come to the convention to fly. So it's just a very, very big country, and the western half is relatively uninhabited compared to
the... So it's also having really large festivals like Noel's,
yep,
that are getting 600, 700, 800
mm-hmm.
people. So there's definitely people here, it's just doing the marketing and getting the right...
I would like to echo Martin's suggestion, because I believe that there are more colleges in the Northeast than any other place in our country. I don't know if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that there are more colleges north of Pennsylvania, like any place. And I would hazard, if you do find someone maybe who could help us, who is somehow connected in this network, that we could find a venue in the Northeast. And I really think Martin had a really good idea, maybe even 2017, 16. But I think that's a really great idea. Just put it out.
Well, we are involved in a network called Unique Venues, and they know what our specifications are, and they're trying to find places. They get paid when we book a city or a venue that they have brokered for us. They tried to help us get into RIT, the Rochester Institute of Technology, in Rochester, New York. The problem is they only have a 400-seat theater. So that was the deal breaker there. We can't make our budget with only 400 seats in the theater.
We are going to have to wrap up this report just because we're trying to keep it tight.
Well, it's
already been all over.
I'm eager to talk to anybody that can point me towards places that might be a good fit.
Yeah, and I definitely, having heard a lot of your history of what you have looked for, it gave me a clearer picture as to
mm-hmm.
why you've been focusing on the regions
yep.
that you have. I think looking into other options, like what we're doing in Quebec, kind of stretching the boundaries of comfort, and trying new things would be one of the main ways to be able to be in some of those other locations, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Bye.
Are you leaving the call?
No, I'm
okay. Okay. All right. Moving on to the Yep report from Ellen Winters. She's not on the call, so does anyone have any discussion regarding her written report?
This is Lloyd. I looked at the earlier sort of fundraising document did, and the problem with it was that it wasn't clear what it was asking for, really.
Okay.
No budget and that sort of thing. Now, I may not have seen the latest, but I think we need to be much clearer of what we're trying to raise money for.
And are you specifically talking about the Mars Corporation?
No. I'm talking about fundraising in general. She talked in her report about having experienced fundraisers look at her proposal, but I haven't seen a version that had specifics in it.
Okay. Yeah, she hasn't... She made some progress with that, and then I think she had gotten some feedback that in order to really get interest from larger grant-giving entities, there would need to be a larger network of YEP representatives and people out there working with youth and more youth in the program. And so that's something she kind of has been turning her focus towards, it sounded like.
Okay, well, I'll get back to her, but I just wanted to do some version I was missing.
Great. I know she did a bunch of little updates on it. Are you on the drive, the YEP drive at all?
No.
Add you to that. Okay.
I've been getting directly with her, but not for the past month or so.
Yeah, maybe just check in with her regarding where she's at with that. and any ideas for, if you can support her in moving forward with that. And I know she'll appreciate it. Anyone else? They did choose to move with forward with a different name, the IJA Academy. So there's still been discussion as to whether or not people like that name. but so everyone knows there's a big rebranding going on, and it's going to change from YEP to IJA Academy at this point.
I will put the word juggling into it, the IJA Juggling Academy.
Well, it's International Jugglers.
I know, but if they call it IJA Academy, it doesn't say juggling.
I know. I mentioned that, too. I was International Jugglers Academy. Then it would still be IJA. but something where it actually says jugglers in it, because if the logo and the brand are all going to say IJA.
I think IJA Juggling Academy would be great, because IJA is short. You don't have to spell it out. And some people will know what it means, and people who don't will see juggling.
Right.
It
just
doesn't sound like much fun yet.
Juggling Academy.
You need a livelier name, I think.
A livelier name?
Yeah, it just doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound exciting. Yeah. But having said that, I haven't been able to think of a better one. So.
How about the Academy of Juggling Arts and Sciences?
Right. Yeah, and there was different discussion regarding why Academy was good, and Tom Wall's opinion was that type of name looks good and official for grant writing and things like that. There's lots of different organizations like karate academies and different types of things that lots of kids are involved in, and just because it has the word academy, they don't get scared away from it, you know, and actually kind of makes it feel more official. Others in the group who felt that it was a bit too dry. Yes.
Okay, IJA, Academy of Juggling, Juggling Arts and Sciences. That's it, IJA, Academy of Juggling Arts and Sciences.
Starts getting pretty long. I like IJA Jugglers Academy, something that brings in the word juggling. But anyhow,
This is Noel here. I just wanted to know, what is this vision of a website? Is it connected to what? Is it its own standalone
site? It's the YEP website. There's a separate YEP website right now, and so that would be revamped with the new name and new branding and stuff, but it's not in coordination with our website.
And when would that be roughly completed? I'm just looking at this.
Unclear. It says here, I just read it too, that she was planning to work on that within the next month, but I think that would take a while longer to actually make that happen, because there's going to have to be the new logo for the new name and everything. So I do not know when that would be completed. But
okay.
It's going to be a bit of a work in progress, I would say. But at least trying to get a basic website with the new name and everything up in the near future. The buttons that they're going to have for the youth, the whole button achievement awards, are pretty cool. They were designed by a juggling artist who's an IJA member, and definitely have that same kind of feel of the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts things. At least when I saw it, I was like, I would totally like that when I was a teenager, to get, I can juggle five ball buttons. things like that. So I'm pretty excited that that's being rolled out soon, and Ellen's been great at spearheading that and making it happen. So, okay, any other discussion?
I had a question. About getting more, like, YEP representatives. What did it say at the bottom there? Fast track certification to get, it says, to fold people that are already doing it into the new academy?
Yeah. So this was one thing Ellen's been talking about, is having kind of a fast track certification, like, form and interview type thing with people that already have strong youth programs.
Uh-huh.
That are already happening, like the Jugheads or Juggling Life or Performing Life or Mini Mobile Children's Circus in Afghanistan, where people could apply and then be kind of do an interview with Ellen and be worked into the overall programming. And I think the vision talk that's happening right now is looking at, what really is the vision of the YEP? Originally it was to support individual leaders as they either started their pods or as they were facilitating them. And now kind of it's being discussed, turning it into more of a blanket support thing where it would, unite different young jugglers around the world, but starting with focus on the country, where they would see each other's updates or progress videos and photos and get inspiration from all these other youth programs happening around the world, and the button achievement program and stuff. So, so the idea it would be to bring in more people and then also trying to figure out what YEP can offer these other programs that are already existing and how it can help support them in their process.
Cool. Because I have a friend that was actually interested in becoming a member because I was, talking it up. I was like, membership drive, it's going to be happening soon. And he was like, I'm really interested in the YEP program. And I really just didn't know what to tell him because last time I heard, we didn't really, have any plans for, expanding the representatives.
Right. Get in touch with Ellen because we've created a whole list because we've been getting a lot of interest in the last 2 months since we started doing more Facebook stuff and the rebranding. Lots of people writing saying that they're interested in being a part of it. So we've got a list of all the names of people. So we would happily have that person's name. Yeah.
All right.
Sweet. Anything else? Okay. Moving on to marketing with Kyle Johnson.
Hey, guys. Okay, so where do I start? I have... So the festival, the flyer is in the folder. It is just about done. If there's any blaring mistakes, please let me know. But as far as it looks, everything's done with the front and the back of it. We just need to get it printed and then start to send them out everywhere. The membership drive is 4 days from the end, or a little less than that now. And we have, I believe, 53 new returning members. Only, two of them were actually new members. What was that?
First, Martin, can I update you on that?
Yeah.
We have 67 members having renewed or joined during the drive. And 12 of them are new members.
Yay!
That's awesome. That's so great.
So
okay.
Awesome. Go, Kyle.
Very few are actually, quote, recruited by anybody. So we're not looking at much in the way of recruitment prizes at this point.
Yeah. They were pretty tall orders.
They were.
But, just see how it works. Some people are really, really determined when it comes to that kind of thing, and they will get it. So, we might have gotten lucky with that, but that's all right if we didn't. The other things are working out pretty well.
Sorry, one more comment, and that is, just for comparison, I went back and looked, and we got 25 renewals or joining members in December of 2012. So 25, I don't know, that may be a typical month. It's a little low. I mean, nominally we have around 900 per year, but maybe a third of those renew for the festival or whatever. But if you divide that 900 by 12, that's how many we get on an average month. So something like 70, but again, a lot of those are during the festival. So 55 of these were renewals, and 12 were new members. That's great. Maybe some of the renewals were from people who didn't work, whose membership wasn't going to expire for 9 months or a year. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's great. But so I had the raffle last night. It was just in a dark little room. I couldn't really do much more than that. But we have 5 people that won different items, and I'm going to work to get them their stuff soon, and then once the drive is over, we're going to have another raffle on the 28th, which is our last one. The Facebook page is painfully close to 7,500 likes right now. I've been posting all the benefits, been posting 4 times a day, a lot more than usual, and a lot more active. I released the video since our last meeting,
the membership video, which if you guys could share it, that'd be great. It only has less than 1,000 views right now, and it'd be really cool to have a lot more than that. Yeah, I think that's about it, trying to keep everything timely. The video is also included in the folder if you guys would like to download it. And I don't know, is there a Juggling TV account for the IJA?
There is. Yeah.
All right. Do you know who's in charge of
it? Kamal would know the password. I knew it at some point, but I forget now. It's very similar to the YouTube one, just one change of capital or something like that.
Sure, okay. Cool. I think that's about it for me.
Any discussion for Kyle or questions?
This is Noel. It seems like I'm really seeing your posts on Facebook, and I'm seeing a lot of buzz about it, so it seems like you're doing a really great job getting the IJA word out, so I would just maintain for as long as you can.
All right, I'm trying. Thanks, man.
Yeah. And I think it's been good doing the, like, 3 to 4 times a day posting, and then after this going back to the 1 to 2.
Definitely, definitely. Perfect. I think it's too much for people for too long, you know?
Totally, yeah. It starts getting where each one gets attention than they should get. But yeah, it's been awesome. Good work.
Cool.
Okay. Where's my agenda? No more discussion. Moving on to membership. So you can see Marilyn's numbers here. I found it interesting that we only went up five new members. And I think she just put the numbers in yesterday from last month, which made me think that right now was when the IJ Festival packages, early bird packages, started going on sale last year was December 1st, and I know a lot of people bought packages in that early bird section, so I was wondering if a bunch of memberships were expiring during this month anyhow.
Possible.
What's that, Martin?
I say it's possible. We don't often have, you know, we haven't usually opened registration this early before last year.
Right.
So if people renewed last year, then they probably would have still expired at their old, you know, time. But I think it's hard to say without just looking at some data how many were expiring this month.
Got it. But we are up 4 from last month, and I don't know if that reflects the most recent numbers that have come in the last couple of days or not. Okay. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, we'll move on to financial report with Scott Krause.
Yep. Okay, so there was a request to have a couple of debit cards provided for the board chair and the festival director. I have gone through that with the Bank of America, and I have the forms that I need to sign and send back. I'm going to do that tomorrow. Q3 financials are available to an extent, but they need to be finalized with Kim Laird, and the final festival numbers need to be taken care of before those can be voted on and reviewed upon and voted on by the board.
Okay.
Next month we have the IRS 990 form, I believe, that we're going to start on. And I think that's due in March.
Okay. Did you do that last year?
I did. Well, I worked with Holly to do it last year.
Okay.
It's a fairly simple form, and most of the fill out is done by her because she has all the financials at her fingertips.
Right. Okay. And I know, is that the one where they need, like, the number of hours board members are contributing? Okay. So I know Dave has sent that out. You can round those up from board members. That would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to, still having a hard time getting getting in touch with Kim. It would be really great to get these financials finalized as soon as possible. I did just get a message from Paul Arneberg, who's in charge of the Jughead, saying that he still had an outstanding check that hadn't been deposited. And so checked in Holly and Kim about that, and Holly then said, well, if there's still checks that haven't been deposited, then those financials that she gave last month are not finalized.
Right. And I got that email as well. So I'm going to look through the book and everything that I have, all the receipts and everything. But I don't think I have any checks left.
No, so. I remember Holly saying that that Kim had told her she had two checks that she had randomly found and was going to send to Holly, and I'm guessing, and I know what she said, one was from the Jugheads, so I'm guessing those were just never sent. I'm hoping is the situation. But yeah, we need to get this wrapped up, so it would be great to get responses from Kim. Okay, any other discussion for Scott? And the credit cards, Scott, oh, sorry, I do. The credit cards are for the ones for me and Cody?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
I have the paperwork, and they just need to be sent back. I got them on Friday.
Okay.
This is Noel. What is the limit on the credit cards? Just as a curious question.
They're not credit cards. They're debit cards. So the limit is whatever is in the bank account.
And is that the general IJ fund, or is that all the IJ's finances?
They will be linked to the general fund, which is where the majority of IJ's cash is stored right now. The card holders will be the board chair, myself as the treasurer, and Cody as the festival director. I'm going to try to set Cody's up to expire after the festival is over, but we might just have to call up and cancel it in August.
No, well.
Sorry, guys, just got dropped.
No. So you didn't hear Scott's response?
No, I didn't.
Oh, sorry, I can do it one more time. They are debit cards rather than credit cards, so the money that's in the general fund is what is linked to the cards. There will be three card holders, myself as the treasurer, Aaron as the board chair, and Cody as the festival director, and I'm going to look into setting up Cody's card so it'll expire in August. However, I don't know if that's possible, so we might just have to cancel it in August.
Okay. It would be, if we were using a credit card as a nonprofit, we could also, I know it's too late, but in the future, we could gain benefits from all the payments of stuff for the festival, like percentages and stuff like that and rewards, just as a future thing to begin researching. That's it.
What do you mean, flight?
I have like four credit cards, one for my flights that I expense, another one that's for the festival expenses that you gain like 2% or whatever on all your purchases at the end of the year.
Right.
And all of that can go great. And that actually adds up if you have like a $90,000 festival budget. So just putting it out there.
That's true. I have a personal that has a 1% cash back, which is really nice.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to motions. Got to try to get these done pretty quick here for the one-hour mark for Noel. So first motion is motion to pay up to $50 for digitization of the historical club swinging video out of the archive fund. Is anyone willing to make this motion?
This is Scott. I'll make the motion.
Oh, Scott.
Second.
Lloyd,
Noel, I'll second it.
Noel, I got you.
Everyone's fine. Okay, any discussion? Nathan, I don't know if you're going to fill people in at all. Or
I'd be happy to fill in, but if everyone's just okay with, the question as is, then I won't bore them with details.
Okay.
It was a pretty long process.
Where will the video be going? It'll just be like on eJuggle or something?
Yeah, I think that, we're open to ideas, but especially in the long term, but I think the general idea right now is to offer it on, post it on Vimeo as a members only benefit video.
Cool. Okay. Nice. Sounds good.
Okay. Any other discussion?
If you're going to post it as a members only video, does it have tags available to it? I wonder if like Club Swing is one tag, but I think that at least three other groups would be really interested in learning club swinging tricks because a lot of them carry over to other props.
Right. I think the way it's been working is when Scott puts it on eJuggle, there's tags to the article in eJuggle. But I don't know if you can tag private videos on Vimeo, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think so much.
But, I mean, there will be some level of marketing when this does come out because it's a pretty solid video and quite historical in its own right, I think.
All right. Like it.
Cool.
Any more discussion?
Any more discussion?
Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Anybody opposed to the motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Motion B is motion to approve change of eJuggle budget from $750 a month to $550 a month. Anyone want to make the motion?
This is Kyle. I'll make the motion.
Kyle, that's you.
And second?
I second.
Okay. Any discussion?
This is Scott. Should we add something in here about what happens to the backlog of money that it was available for eJuggle before?
We very well could add that, yes. This would be a good place to do that. It was a verbal agreement with Scott that we would, that he would cap out at $1,000 for turnover fees from each month, but we could add that to the motion to make it official.
If you feel that Scott would be okay with us adding that, okay with formalizing the verbal agreement, I would like to add that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Motion to approve change of eJuggle budget from $750 to $550 a month. And get a cap of $1,000. What's the word? Carryover? Transfer?
If you mean carryover, do you mean the total of $1,500 for the month? Or do you mean
No, it's for the last couple years, every month where he doesn't spend the full amount, he's been carrying over the amount that was unspent and this is budgeting and assuming that he could use that instead. So he had upwards of $4,000 that he was planning to be able to use it for eJuggle at some point, and we discussed it and he agreed to lower that to just a $1,000 carryover.
So this is like rollover minutes in a phone call. In a phone contract, right? So you're saying the cap of rollover dollars is $1,000 per edit for any given time?
The cap of what?
Cap of $1,000 rollover from previous sums.
Cap of $1,000 rollover. Yeah, that works. Rollover.
Of unused previous funds.
Huh?
Unused previous funds.
Of unused previous funds. Yeah. Perfect. Okay, so Kyle, would you move to amend the motion?
Okay, I move to amend the motion.
I second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Moving to a vote, anyone opposed to the motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Okay, and motion C is motion to approve payment of $12 per month out of the general fund for a six-month trial of a Constant Contact e-newsletter. Anyone want to make the motion?
I move.
This is Kyle. Floyd's got it.
Second. You want to?
All right, I'll second.
Any discussion? I can fill people in a bit. There's been an ongoing discussion about this between the Ford Plus forums and also discussion between Martin and Don and Tom and myself and Scott from eJuggle Seltzer. Basically, the idea has been to move to a Constant Contact format. It will cost $24 per month for a six-month trial as a nonprofit. eJuggle budget is willing to cover half of that expense and has asked for IJ to cover the, or for the general fund to cover the rest.
Might I suggest, MailChimp, which is free for up to 6,000 emails a month. And even the free service is full featured. It just has their promotional tags at the bottom. But other than that, it's a great email marketing system, completely free. You can send up to 6,000 6,000 recipients, and I think a limit of 50,000 emails a month. I've been using it for about 4 years for a couple clubs that I run, and it's just been a great system.
Okay.
I also use MailChimp, and I haven't had any experience with Constant Contact, so I'm not one to say much, but I prefer MailChimp. But for me, it ultimately lies with what's easier for Martin in terms of transitioning. I don't know how it's going to work. I would relegate the decision to more of Martin, I'd like to hear some from the newsletter person, like what's going to work best for him in terms of transitioning, but maybe he doesn't know, so I don't know.
Well, I don't know anything about MailChimp or Constant Contact, for that matter, but I'm also not going to be the main person running this. If Tom is going to do it, or Tom and Don and me, we don't really have a firm plan at this point for who's going to do what, since I don't see a proposal from anybody. The thing that I talked a little bit about with Don is that I sort of suggested that we have an opt-in a second e-newsletter as a trial, so that we can, work out the bugs before we try to make it take over for the existing e-newsletter, but we could tell people anybody could opt in, but we wouldn't force all the members to get two e-newsletters each month. But again, we still need someone to take the lead on actually organizing this second e-newsletter.
I know I talked to Tom, and he was definitely more in favor of just jumping in and going for it for 6 months and trying it and working out the kinks and just telling members, this is a transition and be patient with us as we figure out the bugs, rather than doing two, because that's just more work for people in general, was his kind of take on that.
Well, I would like to see one full month newsletter before I would agree to that. I mean, it's not my choice. It's your choice as the board. But I would like to see a full sample, not the trivial markup that he did before.
Yeah, this is Noel. I would like to see, I'm obviously a little bit distant to this, but I would like to see a seamless transition for the amazing work Martin has done with the newsletter to not be completely lost in our transition. Even though you may not be the person creating the newsletter, I think it would still be beneficial for the continuum of how the newsletter to run for you to be involved, at least at a higher level, if possible. And I don't think that's possible
with a really quick transition. Oops, okay.
Got it.
Yep. I'm certainly still willing to be involved and still interested in being involved. I just don't want to be the person who is in charge of putting the thing together. I'd like to be looking over it and saying, here's some material that you haven't looked at, or, you know, the sorts of things I do now with the current e-newsletter, as well as, you know, whatever was appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I guess the question then is, if we want to shift to this new newsletter in general, Tom left it as wanting a proposal from the board as to how he would be involved and what the board would want from him, rather than him creating a proposal for us. I don't know if somebody would want to take on this project of spearheading the transition.
We had two people here who have used MailChimp, both supporting it. I don't know if anybody has used Constant Contact here, but maybe Tom has used Constant Contact and doesn't want to switch. But the fact that MailChimp sounds good, according to Mike, and is free for our purposes, sounds quite reasonable.
Yeah. And I know Don and Tom both research Constant Contact.
All right, who did that?
That was exciting. But I do, yeah, I've heard great things about MailChimp as well, and heard no problems with it. So as far as the actual payment and the motion at hand, we can do a vote, and people can decide one way or another, and we can move forward with MailChimp instead if the vote doesn't pass. But the main thing is having somebody who actually, like you said, Martin, we need a proposal and somebody to take on the transition, or the transition to the new form.
Yeah, somebody to spearhead this, whether that person doesn't have to be the editor of the new newsletter, but somebody has to spearhead the transition or try to at least figure out how we do it. Now, one of the issues that I raised, I guess, in email was that of opting out. We wanted to give people, Constant Contact insists that people be able to opt out, and, you know, we want people to be able to opt out easily, too. But we also maintain a members list. So if we're sending this to all our members and somebody opts out through, let's say, Constant Contact or MailChimp, whatever we're using, that information needs to work its way back to the membership director to opt them out at that level, not just in the database that's being used, Constant Contact or MailChimp. So that's a technical detail, but it's sort of an important one.
Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly what how that would transpire. If they opted out, it would have to be a search of the emails and then comparison to the thing the membership director has, the list the membership director has?
Well, we don't get many. I don't expect to see many opt-outs, and they'll presumably generate either an entry in the database or an email, and either of those can be poked at by the membership director once a month or something like that, and to remove the appropriate people. I mean, we get opt-out emails from the current e-newsletter, mostly from former members, but occasionally a current member will opt out and will remove their email address from our list. And there's only about two a month, I would guess. And as I said, most of those are former members.
Okay. So it seems like we could look at continuing other options, but mainly, somebody to spearhead this, which Don seems somewhat interested in doing so. Tom is willing to be a part of it and wants to help with the transition and just supported with Scott Seltzer would love to have Tom involved with it, and is willing to support him in doing so.
Mike, are you interested in being involved with us, since you're familiar with MailChimp? Not as the editor, but as someone to help figure out how to use it, if we used MailChimp.
Well, it's pretty easy to use. So whoever is the editor, once they decide, you know, if they decide on MailChimp, it's very easy to use. I don't know how much more there is to it than that.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward. Okay.
If it's that straightforward, how hard would it be for someone to actually create a newsletter, a one-shot newsletter sample? You know, are we talking 5 hours?
Very easy. Under an hour. I mean, I could do a test to the board members out of MailChimp just using dummy material so people can see what they look like using my free account.
This is Noel. I can actually, Aaron might be on the FireDrums mailing list, but our FireDrums list also uses MailChimp. They come out every week pretty much, or starting up pretty soon every week. And I could also forward that along to somebody if they want to take a look at something. It's not exactly a newsletter. It's just more like updates, but it's not as expensive as a newsletter, but it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we wanted from the new newsletter was to direct people to each other a bit more or more easily. But I don't think we want to eliminate the content, the separate content of the newsletter. So I think we'd sort of like to integrate them better.
Yeah, I know Tom's idea was to have it where e-newsletter articles would be posted to eJuggle, and then the e-newsletter would be like a cap where it would, or a recap of the articles where it would have a paragraph or two or a sentence or two, depending on which article it is, with a link directing people to that eJuggle article to start having more direct interaction with eJuggle and get more content on there too. That's his proposal. Overall, my thing for wanting MailChimp is so that we can actually see how effective the e-newsletter is, see how many people are opening it, look at the different stats and see how we can improve it to meet our constituents. And I think that's a big benefit, and also just having something that's that you don't have to click and download the PDF, that extra step, having something that just shows up right there in your email that looks nice and it has a cool modern look to it as soon as you open it, I think would be helpful. So,
does MailChimp provide that sort of tracking information?
Yes,
yep.
Yes, it does. Very sophisticated analytics, click rates, open rates, unopened rates, bounce rates, by geography, by time of day, by IP address. It's very, very sophisticated.
And MailChimp, both of these handle the emailing, right, the sending of the email?
Yep.
Yes, yeah. You create the email with their system and then either send it right away or stage it to be sent at a specific time, and they ship it out and make sure that it gets delivered, and they give you bounce reports and inbox delivery reports and keyword effectiveness. And it's a very sophisticated system for people that send millions of emails a month.
Yeah, I think that's great. And what I also like is that we can turn it into something like Noel said for FireDrums. They're going to be moving into weekly emails, and they're just updates, getting people excited about things, filling them in with details, encouraging them to register, things like that. And that's something, as far as email marketing goes, not just the newsletter, but ongoing email marketing could be enhanced through MailChimp or whatever system as well, where we can do more regular marketing in that realm, which could behoove us at this point. Anyhow, let's move forward with the vote on this specific topic, and then we can. Noel, you wouldn't be interested in helping with this, would you? Transition?
No.
Okay. all right. So then we can see. I know Don's willing to do work on figuring out what's going to work best and helping with the transition, and so is Tom, but mainly we just need to create a proposal for who's doing what.
This motion, you know, basically ties us to Constant Contact for 6 months.
Right. Well, and that's, I mean, yeah, that's if people vote yes, correct?
Yep.
So, because the other option is that we could table it, correct, Martin?
Yeah, you can do it. You can table it. You can vote on it, and if people don't want to pass it, so you can turn it down.
Okay.
Either way you want.
Okay. Let's just move forward with the vote then. Anybody opposed to the vote? Or to the motion?
I'm opposed.
Aaron, I'm opposed.
Aaron, I'm opposed.
I'm confused. with abstain, I guess.
Yeah, this is Lloyd. I'm opposed. I hope someone is counting.
Aaron, I suggest you take a poll since it's hard to get everybody talking at once.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Noel?
I am opposed.
Lloyd?
Opposed.
Nathan?
Opposed.
Scott? Is not here. Aaron.
Is he left?
Oh. Aaron is opposed. And Kyle.
I'm now opposed.
Okay.
Okay, Aaron, you were opposed?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got enough. So
yeah, so motion fails. So it sounds like researching MailChimp would be a good next step. And
Aaron? Aaron, yeah. And Martin, this is Noel. I just forwarded you guys a FireDrums MailChimp letter. The link is inside the email I just sent you. If you just want to see one from FireDrums that went out November 12th, you can just take a look at it. There's a button that says view email in your browser, and you'll get to see it, what it looks like. Just as something to check out for now.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. And usually it would come where that's what they see when they open the email, correct?
Yeah, but not the email I side. There's a link that says click
right.
The thing and just take a look at it.
But generally, if we were sending out a MailChimp one, that's how they see it. Okay. Okay. Any Varia for discussion?
Yeah, this is Kyle. I wanted to ask about... So promoting posts on Facebook, I know we've tried it once, and it seemed to do okay, but, like, right now it seems like a good idea. Like, have the video shows benefits of being a member and everything. Wanted to know about possibly doing that soon. We would just have to, like, make a motion next time, or...
Essentially, I mean, yeah, there would have to be money approved to pay for that out of a marketing budget. Essentially, I know there's a marketing budget for the festival, so as far as festival promotion, talking to Cody about how much you could potentially use for Facebook promoting.
So there's no marketing budget otherwise?
Nothing specified for this year.
Okay. No. All right. It's not necessary. It's not like... Not super important. It's just would probably help. Okay.
Totally. But I'm creating the budget for next year, annual budget, and
I do want to include a marketing
as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Kind of broke up there a little. All right.
Any other Varia? Okay, let's set our January meetings. Waiting for my calendar to open. January. So, the 5th and the 19th, would that work for people? 2 weeks and 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think so.
This is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is Scott. The 19th is the last day of MadFest.
Okay.
So I don't think I'll be available that evening.
Okay.
Okay.
And the 26th, I think I will be returning from Texas. So I don't think I'll be available that evening.
So,
we want to do. 19th and Scott, you can give us a nice thorough. I'm getting echoing, so exactly. A nice thorough report prior to the meeting.
7:30. I'll do it before the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's plan on those then at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. And now it's time for adjournment. Anyone want to make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
This is Kyle. I'll make the motion.
Okay. Any discussion? Anyone opposed to adjournment? Any abstentions? Motion passes. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye, guys. Night.
Have a good holiday, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.